Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Light snow coming down now, 1 to 4 inches when it's all said and done. Maybe a little bit more up there in the hills of Litchfield County.
You don't know where you are.
Here's the kicker, though. There's going to be, you know, patches of ice here and there.
Yeah.
Let's do this. If you're a professional driver, can you call in and just give us a few tips?
Yes.
Give us morons.
Yes.
Some tips from the pros. Right. How to drive in the snow from the pros.
For the snow driving impaired.
Yeah. You know, us. Yeah. Basically. it's funny because you're either driving too fast or too slow in this. There's never really a perfect speed.
No.
I was driving in. Yeah, there's usually no one on the road. And there's one person. We're on 34. It's flat.
Yep.
You know, there is that whole Housatonic River on the side. So if you slip off, you know,
bloop,
you got big problems.
Right, right.
But, you know, before we got to that section, they're just driving so slow. I'm like, God bless you. You know, this is probably not a comfortable thing. But I got things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pass.
No.
And now I'm the jerk. So they were a jerk.
Right.
And then now I'm the jerk. You see how that works?
Yep.
Well, at least they leave room to pass. I hate when people kind of straddle the line and they're like, and I'm going to go slow.
Yeah. Or they start speeding up when you go to pass.
Yeah. No,
push them right off the road.
What's that thing that they do? The state troopers, the bootleg turn where they tap your bumper and make you spin out.
Here's the thing. Let's pay attention to this because this could be very helpful.
Yes.
Maybe not today.
Right.
Probably today, but definitely in the future.
Write this down in your head.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Professionals are calling in, telling us what to do in the snow.
Right.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good, thank you.
What best advice I can give as a professional driver is to space yourself out from the vehicle in front of you. And how you do that is you pick up something in the road, like a telephone pole or a street sign, and when that car passes it, you count. You give yourself about 5 seconds, and that gives you about five cars.
So five Mississippis.
Five Mississippis, yeah.
Yep.
And if you're driving a big truck, you do about 8 to 10.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's a good gauge.
How long have you been driving?
I have my license 15 years, commercial license, and I've been driving since I was 16, so 31 years.
Holy crap.
And no accidents, no tickets.
Knock on wood.
I'm knocking wood for you. All of a sudden, oh, my God!
Okay, thanks for calling.
What's that fireball over there?
You must have seen some stuff, though, right?
I mean, everybody's seen stuff. You know, you drive for 30 years, you're going to see something eventually.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've got a lot of miles. Honestly, the best advice you can give is to give yourself a lot of distance. You know, the problem is people follow too close. You know, and then when things go bad, you got
no
time to react.
Yep.
There's no time. And in a big truck, there's no time, and you're so damn heavy, you can't stop. But the other thing, too, is regular drivers forget that the tractor trailers and the big trucks can't stop.
No.
Okay? Like, you're 100,000 pounds or 80,000 pounds, you know, depending on the truck, or even heavier. And you know, if some guy cuts you off and stuff, and you hit the brakes, I mean, you know, they're a thought, but it takes 4 or 5 seconds before those brakes are really doing something.
Yeah. Right?
And you just, you know, the distance that you leave is your lifesaver. Yeah, it truly is.
That's a good one.
Good luck, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You too. John in Bridgeport.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
How long have you been driving?
Over 40 years.
Okay, you're qualified.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, the gentleman that was just on before, he said it basically in a nutshell. But what he didn't touch base on is those big trucks. I used to drive an oil truck. The load makes a big difference, too, because the loads in the tankers that carry liquids shifts.
Yeah.
And that could be really detrimental.
They'll push you.
Yeah, it'll push you, pull you. I mean, it'll take you side to side depending on the baffles in your tank.
Right. If you're driving with feathers in the back, you're good. Got a load of feathers. Ain't going nowhere. We're good. We can stop.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice load, but that's not reality.
No, I hear you.
Okay, so, anyway. You know, one of the things that we're getting here, there's a theme, is to give trucks a lot of room.
Yes, please.
A lot of space. The other thing is assume that they've been driving for a while and they could be tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they should be smart enough to get off the road.
No, I understand that.
You know what? While you're on the phone this morning on the way in, I saw an ass load of 18-wheelers on 95. I mean, there had to have been
a good
50, 60, 70 of them all in a row.
You could fit 50 to 70 tractor trailers in your ass.
It's a large ass, yes, exactly.
But, that's a big ass.
Why was that?
Because they want to beat the traffic.
Okay.
They get paid on their runs. They got to go point to point for a fee.
Almost like a convoy.
Yeah, so whether it takes 3 days or 2 days.
Yeah.
If it takes 2 days, you got another load. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they're trying to get through this hell that's called Connecticut before drive time starts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yep.
But, AJ, are you saying you saw this ass load this morning and you typically don't see an ass load?
Usually you don't see nothing. Yeah, like the occasional truck. This was like a parade.
I live in Milford. I see it every day coming from the truck stop about 5:30 in the morning every day.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this is 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, maybe you saw this because of the snow.
Yeah,
people wanted to get through.
An early start.
An ass load.
Wow. Ass load, yeah.
That's a lot of tractor trailers to have in your ass.
It was big ass, yeah.
All right. thank you, John.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Be safe.
Bye.
We're asking professional drivers to call in advice to us driving in snow.
Yes.
Not a lot of snow out there, but, you know, this is the snow where people get some balls. Because
devil's in the first inch.
That's right. They just think, this is nothing.
This one is the most slick.
Yeah. Rich in Ansonia, how long you been driving?
I've been driving tractor trailers for 6 years, but I've been driving box trucks before that for, 10 years?
Oh, okay. You definitely qualify.
Yep.
First rule is, if you can't drive in it, you shouldn't be out in it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you suck at driving normally, don't be out.
Yeah. And then to boot, you know, you might be able to get up to speed, you know, on your four-wheel drive with your plow on it. But what goes fast must stop fast in case something happens.
Right.
And a lot of these idiots with the plows don't realize that until it's too late.
So they call them plows. They plow into things.
Exactly.
Just kidding, plow drivers.
Like the rest of the, you know, trucks that are in your ass. You know, the truckload in your ass?
The ass load. Let's get it right.
It's a lot of trucks in your ass.
Right.
I didn't mean my ass, by the way. Any ass. Mine's too small for that.
That's what it sounded like.
I'm not the East Rock Tunnel here.
I'm trying to get the advice here. So stay away from the trucks. Tanker trucks give extra room. And you're saying if you can't drive, just don't come out.
Right. He was also saying, if what goes fast has to stop fast.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Use your better judgment.
Better judgment. Oh.
Good luck with that one.
I drive tankers.
That's a problem.
I drive tankers.
Oh.
I drove in this last night. I'm just getting back to the yard.
Man.
What's in your tank?
Yeah. We normally put gasoline in it.
Gotcha. That's scary to me.
Yeah.
Like, oil is one thing because it's, you know, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
But gas, man, that could be just so friggin' bad.
Right.
That's an explosion.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
What,
if you have an idiot behind the wheel.
Yep.
Do you get special training for that?
Yes, you do.
Wow.
You have to get special training. You got to get certified through the government. And then you got to get all the qualifications and everything like that. And most companies, they won't hire you unless you have 1 year of experience clean driving.
Wow.
I saw a milk tanker truck crash. Yeah. The guy was crying.
The other day, I seen one. I was going up. 25.
Go back to your asshole joke.
Standard petroleum. There was a truck going up heating oil.
Yeah.
It was one of those small trucks. He was in front of me. We were going up 25, and he hit a wet spot in the road. He started fishtailing all over the road, turned it sideways. I threw my hazards on and slowed down in case he rolled it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he actually saved it.
Cool.
Wow.
But his pants were not saved.
No, I agree
with that. That was an ass load of something else.
Short.
Wow. All right, Rich. Thank you, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It.
Be safe.
No problem. Wow. Stay safe, fellas.
You too. And driving one of those gas tankers. That's just.
Yep. Ugh. Yep.
You know, with all the morons driving around those guys and girls, I'm surprised there's not more mushroom clouds on the highway. You
seriously.
Know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
Kevin in Wallingford.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. 48 years of driving. Truck.
Thank you.
Wow.
The problem that I've always bitched about, even before everybody went nuts out here in the past 3 years driving like lunatics.
Yes.
Is there's several factors. Number one factor is distance. The more distance somebody can
covered
give,
this already.
Yeah.
I got a point.
Okay.
I feel like I'm in a classroom.
Speed has everything to do with it, and the in today's world, the people with the four wheel drive vehicles, they feel that they're invincible. They'll get up and go, but they won't stop.
Right.
And that's a huge problem.
Problem.
I mean. At the end of the day, like the other guy said, if you have a problem driving, you shouldn't drive. Trucks will kill you. I mean, I yell at my wife all the time. She'll be out on the highway, and she'll sit alongside of a big truck. And I'll say to her, geez, if his tire explodes, he's going to blow your window out or maybe kill you. Okay, people should really learn to stay away from trucks. They're very volatile, and they will kill you.
Right.
Yeah, you should respect trains and big trucks.
Yes.
I had a fatality about 30 years ago. It was not my fault, but somebody had got under, I call them children. They get under your feet and, you know, they don't get it. You know, they don't.
What happened?
I mean, you're taught, a car was alongside of me. I had a tire explode.
What were you driving?
A tractor trailer.
Okay.
And one of the tires exploded because one of the brakes heated up, and it made the person, it blew up. It forced the person off the road because they were startled. They crashed and died.
Wow.
I mean, it happens all the time. And, you know, it wasn't my fault, but at the end of the day, you know, they're very... What people don't understand is the average car on the road weighs about a ton and a half to 2 tons. A truck fully loaded weighs 80,000 pounds.
Ooh.
So that's like a baseball bat versus a baseball, okay? And when something happens, it's catastrophic.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, so and in this weather here with these young drivers, these young truck drivers, they think they're driving Corvettes. And they're very irresponsible because I still drive, but I don't drive like I used to. I own
well, there's
own.
A, there's the problem is COVID. They couldn't find anyone. Now
right.
They're putting anyone behind the wheel.
Exactly.
I see signs on every truck looking for drivers.
Yep.
So there's a shortage. Everybody gets to drive.
It's gone so far as the state of Connecticut is now buying smaller trucks to plow the roads. People don't realize this. It's very, very hard to attain a truck driver's license because the testing, the drug testing, everything involved, people just aren't able to pass it.
Especially so what weed being legal.
Yep.
Our state now is buying more smaller trucks. You may not recognize that they're smaller, but they're out there.
That's hysterical.
I thought I got bigger.
We make it difficult for truck drivers. Then we're like, wow, we need truck drivers.
Right.
Let's just build smaller. We'll buy smaller trucks.
Because the weight requirement to have a CDL is 26,000 pounds and above. But these trucks are coming in at 25,999 pounds. They're just under it. Because they cannot get any qualified CDL drivers.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, that's scary, too.
Hey, I could talk to you all day. I got to wrap it up. We'll go back to this later in the show. I love hearing this stuff from the people who drive for a living.
Good to know.
Great information, Harry.
Yes.
This is really life-saving stuff and important. So,
absolutely.
And thank you for what you do. Thanks for coming on.
Be safe.
All right, Bill, you heard us talking about that hot air balloon accident.
Yeah, I wish I'd know what happened, but I can tell you this. I'm a private pilot, single engine land, but I also met a bunch of balloonies out in Colorado.
Balloonies? Is that what they're called? Balloonies?
They round people like dressed in like different colors.
Yeah, they don't like it much, but unfortunately, that is kind of what they're called.
They're balloonies. Okay.
Balloonies.
It's my pop over here.
Yeah. Out there, but we had some really stupid people who did a lot of stupid stuff. And if you talk about dumbass news, I'm a dumbass because I went up in a balloon with a guy twice, and the second time he ran out of propane. Now, I'm a propane guy. And I swear to God, when I got on the ground, I almost beat the hell out of him.
Right. That's when you break out your lighter real quick.
Can you imagine being a propane guy and dying in a balloon accident because it ran out of propane?
Yeah, that'd be embarrassing.
I don't know a lot about hot air balloons, but do they still steer them with bags of sand?
Right.
No, they actually ride the thermals.
Oh, okay.
And it really,
underwear.
You can do it. I mean, if you got a good pilot, you can ride the thermals and you can get direction and you can move. It's going up and down and riding the different layers of heat.
Oh, yeah,
so
I'm
work,
good.
But the problem is the basket is for people to stay in, not jump out of.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fuel is four tanks. You blow up with one, you ride with two, look for a landing field with three, and never touch four. So
hopefully.
If you stick to the rules, you can actually do it right, but these people just don't stick to rules.
So you didn't hear this story as to what happened, right? And the story lacked a lot of detail in terms of what happened. A bunch of people went up, a whole handful of people jumped out, parachuted.
Yep.
And then it crashed. And that's basically was the whole gist of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder why it crashed. I understand the people jumping out. The basket was extremely large with 12 people.
Yeah.
Which means it's a really large envelope, so it's a big, big envelope. And that's a big balloon. That's a lot of people to be carrying, but I wonder what happened and what caused it to crash.
So when you lose all that weight, 12 people.
Right. That changed things.
Go up, but they have vents on the top of the balloon. Well, you remember Richard Branson when he sat on top of a hot air balloon and had tea?
I don't recall that, but
I do.
For it. Yeah.
Probably the dumbest thing in the world that anybody could ever done, but it's called the envelope on top, right? And it's got a parachute, and it looks just like one. And when they pop the parachute, they can lose heat very quickly, and it gets them back down to the altitude they want to be on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to it, and if you're a good pilot, it's a lot of fun. It really is something to do, and it's really intense seeing and floating along with the wind because you don't hear anything but natural sounds.
Except for your own screams.
Don't like vultures and eagles ride around on thermals? Like, did you ever just hit an eagle or something? I totaled my balloon.
Right.
Like,
well, you know what? We talk about eagles. We did go down the rivers, and the eagles were there, and they would just keep an eye on you. They would fly, and they would go around the balloon. And
not the band.
Right.
Uh-huh. That would be
John
weird. Not the
it
football
cool,
team.
The saying, take it easy. Sorry.
You couldn't fly over farms because the horses would freak out when you blasted.
Oh, wow.
The balloon, right? Okay.
Yeah, I understand this whole adventurous thing about it.
Yeah.
I'm not adventurous.
Yeah.
I don't understand mountain climbing. I don't get any of this. Why would you do that?
I'll ride a motorcycle instead. We're good.
I see these specials on mountain climbing, and people get up to the top, and it's like, now what are you going to do?
I got
to
climb down.
What? You look down and say, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, and as you're going up, there are all these frozen people lying along the side of the trail.
Yeah, I passed four skeletons on the way over.
Right. I go up in a balloon, I won't go up 10 feet on the ladder.
Wow, that's
yeah.
Weird. I won't go up in a balloon, but I won't go up 10 feet up on a ladder either.
I jump up too high, I get scared.
I'm admitting I called.
No.
We want to give Ruth some information. She's been picked for jury duty.
Oh, boy.
Good luck. Congratulations.
Get excited.
I think
203-882-9757. Chaz and AJ in the morning. 99.1 PLR. 95.9 The Fox. Comedian Dan Brown in studio.
I think I know the secret to avoiding jury duty. Like, I mean, obviously people at home listening can't see me, but I look a lot like a damn dirty hippie.
Right.
And you can't, like, you can't trust the hippie with the legal system
right.
And responsibility. So, like, even though I'm not a hippie, like, I've never owned a lava lamp, never wore tie-dye, I've never played hacky sack once. I'll put my hand on a Bible today and swear before the eyes of the Lord that I'm not a hippie. But, like, people just look at me and they just think, this guy,
hippie.
There's no way this guy hasn't dropped acid.
Right. That guy owns a lot of tie-dye.
Yeah, he's traveling for lunch.
Yeah. But like one time when the attorney was interviewing me, to like decide whether he wanted to pick me for the jury, he was like, "Yo, do you know any cops? How do you feel about cops?"
Oh,
and I was just like, "I only know one. Like, my friend's father was a police captain." But he looked at me like this dirty hippie, so he hated me. So I was like, "Yeah, he's kind of a jerk." And so
done.
Yeah. So the guy was like, "Get this guy out of here.
Get this damn dirty hippie out of here."
Goodbye. Yeah, because like hippies and cops are like natural enemies, like dogs and mailmen.
Right.
They just don't get along.
Yeah, it's clowns and mimes.
Right. They don't chase each other. Right. But yeah.
Chris in Fairfield.
Hey, good morning, Chaz, AJ, Dan, Ruth, everybody. A lot of your first time being in jury duty, you're going to maybe spend waiting in a large room for your name to be called. Frankly, I don't believe in the jury system because I work in customer service. I'm not a lawyer or judge. I shouldn't be deciding anybody's guilt or innocence. And I also think that the jury thing is stacked. It benefits certain groups of people in this country.
Now, how you feel, really?
So you didn't really serve on a jury. You were in a room, took forever, never got picked.
No. I have relatives who are lawyers, so that might have helped me a little bit.
Oh.
I didn't survive the pool. I got rejected.
Okay.
Thankfully.
You got rejected.
Yeah, because that's the worst. When they have you actually come in, then you got to sit there and wait for them to finally pick you.
Here's the thing, if you think about it. If your life is going to be decided by 12 people, don't you want the brightest people?
Yes.
Yeah.
But who ends up on the jury? Listen to Dan. He's a smart guy, customer service.
You mean it's hippie over here?
Watch no part of it.
Right.
then there's Dan.
Right.
It's like, I don't know if I'd want you on my jury.
Hey, man, Dave Mustaine's over here, dude. Cool.
I understand.
Thank you, Chris.
I got Dave Mustaine, man. It's awesome.
I don't know if he'll be paying attention to the details of the case or writing jokes.
I'm a big daydreamer. Like,
he's daydreaming right now. Right. What do I want for lunch?
But it's a lot of waiting. Like, they torture you with
I'm not
daytime
good at waiting.
Television.
Yeah. And the seats they put you on are not comfortable.
Yeah, I've been in that room before, and I wasn't picked, but it's a long day. You have to watch videos, and then they ask you questions. Yeah.
You got videos? Really? Go on. Mm-hmm.
Pam, Long Island.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was picked for a case for a guy who had killed his girlfriend.
Oh.
And, so as the case went on, as you know, we went.
What kind of questions were you asked where you were able to get through the defense attorney? Because I'm thinking if a girl was murdered, you know, I got to ask you some questions about your relationships.
Well, I got to tell you the part that is the worst part about it. He had topped her up and put her in his closet. So they found her in his bedroom closet. What? So when we got picked to go, you know, we go back for the trial, for the actual case. They, the judge, we get there, everybody gets there, and they call us into the judge's chambers, and they tell us that he had pleaded guilty because, obviously, all the evidence was in his closet. So,
yeah.
And then I don't remember exactly the questions that they did ask because it's like 15 years ago, but it was, I'm like, how is this guy even trying to plead innocent until he finally pleaded guilty? So,
oh, wow.
That's it.
No, yeah. It's just when, you know, I'm thinking if I'm defending that guy, I'm asking you questions to see if you were abused in a relationship,
right.
How you feel about men.
Oh, right, right, yeah. Right.
It's so, yeah, I don't even
so
remember,
yeah.
Honestly.
Right.
But, yeah, that was interesting, so.
That's one where it's like, why do we have to go through all this? He's guilty.
Like, she's in his closet.
She was in the closet.
Yeah, can't say I didn't know.
That's amazing. You watch these like forensic file shows and stuff, and they're gathering all this evidence, putting this case together, and it takes years. It was like, well, the cops who arrived on the scene were like, yeah, here he is. Yep. There she is.
She's in his closet.
Pretty easy.
Remember the Iceman, the mafia hitman? Like, he would go through all these lengths, like, putting bodies in, like, an oil drum and throwing them off a bridge. Like, who is this person? Like, oh, the closet will do.
Right.
Like, I'll just hang it next to my suits.
Yeah, closet guy.
Right. He was lazy.
Right.
Right. He's like, yeah, no one will find her in my closet.
Right.
When's the last time
I don't even go upstairs.
I don't even go in my closet.
I couldn't put my bowling ball.
Yeah, tough. All right, Pam. Thank you.
Hello.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Alex, Rocky Hill.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I take any opportunity I get to get on the jury, I'll do it. Where my wife will do everything to get out of it. But my my story goes back to the mid-'80s, and that's when I first met Hugh Keefe.
Oh, wow. Brilliant attorney.
Yeah, very.
I'll tell you what, if I'm ever in trouble and I can afford him, that's the guy I want. He was representing a guy that the state brought charges against for perjury. And this is back in the days when you had to go and sit in the waiting room for like a week to get picked on a trial.
Yep.
Now you only go for one day. But needless to say, I got picked on this trial, and the transcript from the original case was as thick as maybe like a yellow pages in the old days. And I said, oh, we'll never get out of here. This lasted 7 weeks. We would go in, he would start fighting, and they'd dismiss us like within an hour. And this went on for 7 weeks, a couple days here, a week, a couple days there. By the time we got done, Hugh got that transcript down to like 3 pages, and most of it was redacted. And the state finally threw in the towel and said, forget about it.
Wow.
The guy is amazing.
Damn.
Wow.
Brilliant. Wow. Very brilliant.
That's a long time for you to go to get there.
Yep.
I
you guys couldn't have figured this out before you picked the jury?
Right.
Then get back to us.
Right.
I enjoyed my full pay. I'd be poolside by 1 o'clock most of the days when they kicked us out. And like I said, I take that service, you know, as an honor.
It is important.
I'm out of pool, so we're good.
Yeah.
It is important.
Yeah,
it is important. I feel bad that I try to get out of it when I get picked. But it's important.
It is important.
We want good people serving, good people that are going to pay attention.
Right.
People have a moral compass.
Right. You don't want us.
Who ends up on the jury?
Right.
So if that
seniors.
People with nothing else to do.
Right. I just want to be here.
Yeah.
If that was a skilled lawyer, like if you talked about a really bad lawyer, would he just come at you and harass you or something?
Right.
The important thing is if you're that defendant, do you want a guy or a person that just wants to get out of being there? Who's going to, say guilty, you know? Or do you want
that's
to be paying attention
true.
To the fact?
True. Anyone who's trying to get out, let them get out. Have you ever served on a jury before, Ruth?
No.
Ever been in front of one?
That's a great question.
Good
I should have asked
right
during
now.
The interview process. Comedian Dan Brown in studio.
Hey.
Brian in Lyme.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Good. What's up?
I served on a couple of different juries. And,
You're a multi-service jury guy.
A professional juror.
Mm. Yeah, professional juror.
Yeah. There's a difference between a federal grand jury and a regular jury.
Ooh, a federal grand jury.
That sounds fancy.
I was curious if she was going to be on the federal grand jury, and if she gets a chance to do that, I would really suggest doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Really?
You act like it's vacation.
Right.
you get to go there.
Yeah, but
I suggest you go there.
Yeah, good chance, really great lunch. It's awesome.
Federal grand jury. What was the case on that one?
Yeah.
Well, you see a bunch of cases. So with the federal grand jury, you just decide if there's enough evidence to bring charges against the person.
Wow.
So you see sometimes 2 or 3 cases in a day.
Oh, wow.
And it lasts for 18 months, but it's only like 2 days a month, and they usually cancel at least one of the 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's an ongoing deal.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. But, I mean, I sort of look at it as...
So what were some of the standouts in the 18 months that you served as a federal grand juror?
Well, there's a lot of drugs.
A lot of drugs.
What? Yeah, don't drugs and guns.
I'm in.
You mean like in the waiting room?
Right.
Coffee, donuts.
They need you to stay awake, man.
Crack.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, snort some more.
A lot of drug charges.
Okay, I'm ready. This is the judge's stuff, man. It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of drug charges, a lot of gun charges, some white collar crimes, stuff like that.
White collar.
Okay.
What kind of white collar crimes?
Like bad laundry.
Ring around the collar.
He's got ring around the collar.
Ring around the collar.
Try whisk.
1975 commercial reference.
It's still funny.
But I did get excused one time because I knew the this wasn't the federal grand jury. This was a case just for money, civil suit. And they went through. I saw it. I recognized the guy's name, and it had to do with somebody who was run off the road because he was driving a garden tractor with an old dog in the back in a garden tractor trailer. And you should have seen the looks I got on the judge's face when he said, when I asked if it had to do with a old dog and a, old dog and a garden tractor. And
he's like, how the hell did you know that?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was funny. But yeah, no, it's,
Moles drugs.
I would definitely suggest it. And it's a good way to support the police because, like,
we would be picked to support the truth. You know, right. You know how I am. I'm pro cops, but at the same time, you go, like, this is an individual case by case thing. You go and you look at the evidence.
Yes.
You're supposed to be a clean slate.
Right. So first is the drugs.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Sometimes I said it was innocent too, you know, but thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You're jury story. Did you serve? Did you get picked?
Right. All that.
I don't know. Would you want Ruth on your jury?
I think so. She's a kind person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A good person.
She's kind.
Attention to detail.
She definitely would listen to everything.
Right.
Here's the deal. If you did something bad to an animal, don't have her on your jury.
Oh, no. That's it.
You will see death.
You
there.
Will get the death sentence.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you eat a lot of steak, I don't know, questionable.
This man's guilty of having
scales
a Big Mac.
Scales are leaning against you.
You're cooked.
You had a Big Mac. Kill him!
You don't like Foxy Shazam? Could be a problem.
Kill him!
Could be a problem.
Right.
Could be a
this
problem.
This man said bad things about Slash.
Death to him!
Kill him!
Cheryl and Shelton.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Hello. Hey, happy birthday, Chaz.
Oh, thank you. We're beyond the window, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all
so,
right.
So my story is from a very long time ago. In the 80s, I went to jury duty in Milford at the Milford Courthouse. And back then, they would just call a whole pool of people, and you would sit in a room for weeks. I was there for anywhere, I think, 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh.
And if they needed a jury, they would call you down and ask you questions. And if you didn't fit that particular jury, you went back up to the room and waited for the next one. So it was a very long process.
I am not good at this stuff.
That sucks.
8 weeks in those chairs that smell like BO.
Exactly right. They're hard.
Well,
yeah, different ass warmth on
let
it.
Let me tell you, we
and you're not with a group of your friends.
No.
You're not hanging around with a group of people that's like, oh, I love these people.
Yeah, no, you're with different people.
One guy. It's a mix. You might like a couple, then a couple are like, I want to kill them.
One guy's reading a book, moving his lips. It's the worst.
Well, we got kind of close. There, you know, by the time it was over, we ended up, a lot of us, you know, became really good friends. And I actually married one of the guys that
what?
I met
Whoa.
There.
Well, you got really close.
You met on a jury.
Wow.
That's a great story.
Yeah, we've been married like 38 years. And when they used to do orientation at the Milford Courthouse, they would talk about, you know, you never know, you might meet somebody.
What kind of orientation did you go through? I saw his legal briefs.
Jury people are like hill folk.
Right.
You don't marry them.
Right. They did call me down. I was only interviewed for one case, and it was a rape case. And they, of course, asked you questions that, you know, would shock you a little bit to get your reaction to see how you felt. And I answered all the questions. And then I didn't realize I was supposed to, like, leave for the day. And because I was, you know, we were all friends up there in the courtroom. I mean, we had some good parties and stuff in that room. It was crazy.
Yes.
But I went up and I told everybody what they asked me. I'm like, you guys aren't going to believe the questions they asked me. And I disqualified everybody. I went to jury duty.
I met a guy. I can't see him for 6 to 8 years, but but I met a guy.
You met your
they
husband.
Were so
wow.
mad at me. They just sent. I think that was the end where they just sent you know, a bunch of us home and said, that's it. You don't have to come back.
Get here. Out. You're all out. Tomorrow.
Did that guy say, you're guilty of taking my heart?
Thank you, Cheryl.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.